Off the Ball. GAA.
I mean, there was a lot of made of Congress at the weekend, and yes, a lot of different things came out of Congress. But for me, to be honest with you, I won't say it's off the ball. I think it's off the wall in terms of something like that coming into hurling.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Irish football
on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Cadbury, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams.
This is News Talk.
Frustrating, second defeat in a row, how do you assess that?
Yeah, frustrating's the right word. I feel like there's been points in games we've really showed what we're about, and I think that we definitely could have got more from both these games, which is the most gutting thing, but we've just got to look at the positives, I guess, because there's still 12 points available for us in this group, and it's not over based off these past two results.
Second half started very well, got a penalty. You don't seem to take a smack away after that.
Say again?
The penalty incidents.
Yeah, I did get smacked. That's pretty much that's pretty much how it was. One of the Dutch girls I play with, and she wasn't having any of it. I was like, I got whacked out the air. So, yeah, I think it was the right call, and obviously Katie was there to slot it home. So,
the chances you did create in that second half, all the talk in the lead up to League A was about taking them chances and not necessarily taking them in the first two games.
Yeah, I think that's a massive thing for us. I think we've had the chances. I think that's what's great. We're creating them, but yeah, we've got to make sure we put them away. I think at the same time, though, as a back line, we know we can do better to make sure we stop the four goals we've conceded in these past two games.
You said there's a lot of positives to take out of these games. What is the big learnings?
I think that we need to be more confident. I think you can see it in games that maybe at points we feared them or we weren't more confident on the ball. And I think that's what we've got to do when we win the ball back in these games. We spend so much of the time without it, and we've got to make sure when we regain it, we keep it and we're composed, because we've got the players that are capable of doing it. So I think that's a big one to take into the Poland fixtures.
And you say there about that confidence, mm-hmm. There was an obvious difference in the way the team came out in the second half in terms of being a bit more confident on the ball, going for things a little bit more. What was the advice from Carla and the team at halftime?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, a massive part of that was Katie. She got us all round and said that it needed to be better and we needed to back ourselves more and realise that we have more time on the ball. I think that's what meant that we all came out with a bit more fight, and yeah, you could see that with the first part of that second half, obviously scoring the goal.
You're obviously on the receiving end, as you mentioned there, of a bit of a knock or two, but the same thing, like the France game as well, they're both two really physical games. Do you think that that shows that people are starting to appreciate our football as something different to maybe that they have in the past, that they need to get on top of us, they need to annoy us, they need to try and pull something out of us because we're actually technically really gifted?
Yeah, I think so. I think our forwards have been incredible in both these games, being able to hold the ball up, keep on running and link play, and I think teams probably have left it a bit too open for the quality that we have up there, definitely. I think the fact that the Netherlands were time-wasting at the end of the game shows how far we've come as well, because I don't think they would have done that previously.
And do you think that this team is now really cementing a bit more of an identity under Carla in terms of knowing how we want to play, the level that we're able to play at, because we've seen, like, while the results weren't exactly what we wanted the last 2 days, two really, really competitive performances.
Yeah, and I think that's what we've got to take. It has been really competitive, it's been really positive at points, and I think that's what we need to take into our final two games.
Ah, Di Stefano. Better when he moves. And it's 7-2. Oh, I love this.
From the barrios of Buenos Aires to the roaring nights of Madrid, this episode traces the extraordinary journey of Alfredo Di Stefano, the visionary who redefined modern football. Born in Argentina, forged in the breakaway leagues of Colombia with Millonarios, and immortalised in Spain, he became the heartbeat of a dynasty. But what if the man they called La Saeta Rubia had taken a different path and gone to Real Madrid's biggest rivals, Barcelona? find out on episode 6 of Richie McCormack's Sliding Doors podcast as to how European football could have been changed as we know it. Coming to you this Monday in your OTB Football podcast feed for free.
Caitlin, obviously a really disappointing night. How are you feeling?
Yeah, probably a bit like yourselves, just gutted, but trying to remember and remind myself of the positives of standing toe-to-toe with another giant of women's football, which is no mean feat. So yeah, but gutted overwhelmingly.
I can imagine. You had an incredible game. I mean, I think your head was the reason why we stayed in it for so long. You took a few knocks yourself. Are you feeling okay afterwards?
I'm all right. It's fine. It's numb by now.
Talk to us what it was like out there, because the atmosphere and the build-up was incredible. I think there was a lot of positives that everyone took going into today in terms of how the team had played. And for the majority of the game, again, we were in it.
Yeah, of course. I think it's always great to come to a country like Netherlands that you can really see how much it means to the country. I still think it was louder in Tala the other night. And I would take anybody on that defied that or disagreed. But look, it's always great, like I said, to go toe-to-toe with a giant of women's football. It's good on an individual basis to test yourself against some of the best, and it's good as a team perspective to see that actually they were wasting time at the end by going to the corners, and that's nothing but a respect to us, that they don't, not chancing it, that they don't want us to have the ball. They see us as a threat, so I think that's the biggest positive we can take, and yeah, it was good fun.
I was just chatting to Anna about that, and the fact that it was the same thing we saw in the France game, that, you know, teams are really being physical with us in a way that we haven't seen before. They're trying to put us off in a way we haven't seen before. It must be good from a team perspective to know that some of the best teams in the world are seeing us that way, and the football that you're developing under Carla and the team is being respected, even if the results aren't exactly going the way that we want just yet, we'll say.
No, I completely agree. I think Ireland's always been a team that has heart and it has fight. It has the defensive capabilities. I think maybe we've lacked goals in the past, and now it's the opposite way around. We're conceding too many, but no, look, it's a great pat on the back, and we'll take I don't know, some joy from that. But like I said, you want to walk away here with 3 points, and we're not, so overwhelmingly disappointed, but step in the right direction.
Everyone talked about the big games next month, the two Poland games. What's the biggest thing you're going to take away from these two games to sort of bring into that game?
Look, we have done well despite the results, and I know that's not good enough, because obviously everybody wants 6 points on the board. But if we respectfully to Poland have a look at where they fall as well in the table, it's definitely a chance to maybe not finish fourth and finish third, and then obviously that would then set us up great to play these two again and to see ultimately where we can land. But I think we can lick our wounds for the next 24 hours, and then ultimately we'll have a sense of pride and excitement for what's to come. And just everybody needs to look after themselves while they're at club and give their all and be in the best shape.
What's that conversation like after the game today? Because there's no doubt, as you say, there's a lot of disappointed faces in the huddle.
Yeah, of course. Like, we're going to be disappointed. Like, we're competitors, we're footballers, we want to win. No matter who that's against, we could have been playing anybody today. We want to win, we want to back ourselves. And I think that's another important point. Like, we believe in that. We believe in each other. We believe in the system and the coaching staff. And we've just got to believe that tides will turn at some point and points will be on the board soon enough.
There's been spells in both games where you've had really good moments as a team going forward. How do you sort of make that to sort of be more consistent over more throughout games rather than just in spells, especially against the bigger teams?
Yeah, I think it's ultimately playing the occasion and not letting the occasion play you. I think there was a lot of nervousness in the first half. Maybe sometimes a little panic. I think sometimes when people think we set up in a back five, we just kick it long. There's a lot more that goes into that. There's a lot more preparation that the coaching staff do with us, so it's just spending more time with the coaching staff and to nail down exactly how they want us to play, and yeah, hopefully reap the rewards come the next games.
You have a jersey there tucked into your shorts. Which of the giants of women's football did you swap with?
I have Mo Augustlavis that plays at Brighton with me. She's a good friend. She wasn't for 90 minutes. I avoided all eye contact. But no, I appreciated her shouting, saying, "Mark." There she is on the corner. She's like, "Mark." So I'll be giving her a few jigs come Tuesday when we're back in training.
I can imagine.
But yeah.
Amber, frustrating results, battled right to the end. How do you assess that?
Yeah, disappointing. It's just really hard at the minute to kind of, you know, put it into words. I think it's, you know, if, you know, you've been outplayed, I think if you weren't at the races and you've come away with, you know, no points, you can probably say, look, better team won on the day. But I think that's two games now in a row where I think we definitely could have got something out of it. So I think going away to the Netherlands and really probably should have got something out of it is, it's massively disappointing when you don't get something. But again, when you're playing against these top teams, like, they don't need, you know, they don't need a lot of chances to give you bother. And unfortunately it was another set piece tonight, but that's something we'll have to, you know, improve on and work on. But I think that the performance over the last two games will give us massive confidence going forward.
There was a couple of times tonight where maybe Ireland broke and the pass didn't go to the player. I went behind, I went in front of the team. But the fact that Ireland weren't creating any chances, like previously you see when Ireland played here at the on the 2017, didn't create an awful lot of chances, where League A this time actually creating them chances rather than just having to sit back and defend all night.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that was one of the things that we talked about over the years, was we want to be creating chances in games. But I think having seen France and the Netherlands, you know, France had two shots on target, had two goals. You know, we had probably six, seven shots on target on Tuesday and come away with one goal, and I think that's the difference. So yes, it's great we're creating chances, but I think now the next step and the next challenge that we have to have as, you know, as a team is putting them away. And that's something we have to build on, because you might only get one chance in the game and you have to take it. So I think that's something we're really going to be pushing for now going forward against Poland.
How do you get more clinical in them situations?
It's different. I think that a lot of it is that we're definitely finding the confidence now of actually, you know, being confident on the ball, wanting to play football. And, you know, I think people also have to remember, like, missing Denise O'Sullivan is a massive, massive thing for us. And, you know, Lucy came in tonight and done, you know, she done excellent with her shift. And I think it's just learning again what people need, what people want, and again it's just building the confidence. You know, I think we've done it very well defensively. I think that we've been disciplined, and now obviously going forward it's just getting the rhythm, practicing and training, and, you know, trusting them when the ball comes in you're going to put it away.
The outside noise would say the double header against Poland is what was really going to come down to within this group, but what do you sort of take from these games so far that you can see as the biggest positive?
Yeah, I think the fact that we're in the games and we're competing. I know for a fact that when we were played the Netherlands, you know, in 2017, they definitely weren't spending the last 15 minutes of the game time wasting and being happy with a point. The fact that we see the last 10 minutes tonight, they're slowing the game down and trying to get as much out of it. And yeah, I think that everybody on the outside looked in and said that Poland was going to be the must win. But I think looking at Poland's performance against the Netherlands on Tuesday, you know, you're also, we can't underestimate them. They will be a very difficult side, especially going away to Poland and then bringing them to the Aviva. And yeah, it probably is two games that we need to win. But, you know, there's 12 points up for grabs, and that's what Katie said after the game. And we have to, you know, keep the ambition high, and that's what we're going to do.
Remember, you talked there about building that confidence, and it's something that you have to do on a training pitch. But obviously, everyone's going to go home tomorrow, go back to their respective clubs. Everyone's incredibly disappointed. Like, that's obvious to see from everyone that we've talked to tonight. How do you do that as a group in between now and the Poland game to make sure that, I suppose, it's not getting on top of people, or it's not a complete disappointment in that it was two good performances despite results?
Yeah, well, I think the main thing is that, you know, everybody's going to go away now over the next couple of days. And yes, you're right, they will go back to their clubs, but I know everybody who's playing for their clubs will still always have an eye on Poland. And I think that's the difference with international and club level. You know, we always have the international window in the back of our minds, and I think that it's really important that we go away and we look, we watch the game back, we see where it kind of probably went wrong at times, and we see what really worked well for us. And I think it's you know, you come into camp and you always do a really brief review of the previous camp, and I think it's the only way to learn going forward. And but look, like I said, like, we take massive confidence confidence from the performance. It's just really disappointing when you actually don't get anything, and that's, you know, it's a very disappointed dressing room in there. And you know, a few years ago people would have said, well, look, we were in it and we kept the score down, whereas now it's you're gutted losing because you know you can get something out of it. And I think that's the change in mentality that we were probably asking for, and we've finally got it.
Yeah, the rhetoric around this team has definitely changed, and I was talking to Anna Patton and Caitlin Hayes about this earlier. Do you feel like we've kind of settled into, I don't want to call it Carlo Ball exactly, but like what this team is and what their characteristics are and what the personality is, or at least they're getting closer to it after these two games in particular? Like the sort of physicality that we've seen across the last two games isn't something that I've seen other teams in particular go at us for. And you know, you talked about the time waste and similar sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, you know, when Carla come in, one of the first things she said to us was, and she says it every camp, is, you know, don't ever forget that you're very good footballers and we can play football. And I think you want to take more confidence in that and getting the ball down and actually, you know, drawing teams in and playing around them. And I think when we start probably the first 20 minutes, 25 minutes today, I think we were a wee bit scatty, that we were just kind of winning the ball back and then we were kind of getting rid of it. Whereas you saw in the second half, we put our foot on it, caused them problems, played around them. And I think that's the confidence that, you know, take the risk of, no, you can play the ball. And yeah, it's I wouldn't necessarily call it Carla Ball, but like, yeah, I think that's, you know, she's definitely said that every single camp. And you know, when you're doing it all the time, it's repetitive and then it ingrains in you. And I think we've always been a team that's sat in the low block, played off the long ball, whereas now we're building towards something like getting balls in the box. And it's always going to cause teams bother. It causes Netherlands bother, it causes France bother, and it would cause any team in the world bother. And I think that's something that we are going to keep pushing for and hopefully score more goals going forward.
And just one final one, in terms of your own position, and obviously you're doing incredibly well at a club level, how does it feel to be playing in a team that is actually trying to get proper balls into the forwards, and we're playing more attacking football than we ever have before?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, as great as it is that she does score as many goals as she can, but how many other teams in the world rely on their left wing back to score as many goals as Katie has done over her career for Ireland? And I don't think there's any pressure on her to do that, but I think that's her world-class quality that she has, that she's well capable of doing it. But I think now the more we keep the ball, the more we build the ball towards the goal, the more chances people will have to score. And I think that's always, I suppose, since I've been really young, that's always been the mantra. The closer the ball is to goal, the bigger the chance you have of scoring one. So I think that's where we have to, you know, really be, I suppose, hungry for it. Like, you want to get chances, you want to cause bother. And I think that, I suppose, as a striker, that's what I look at. Like, I suppose at times I was getting a wee bit frustrated the last few minutes because there wasn't that many balls coming into the box, and I'm like, put the ball in, cause teams bother, and just see where it goes from there. And I think that's the confidence now. And you know, we have girls that are finishing these types of chances in training every day. We just have to bring it into the games, and a lot of confidence now going into the next two games.
Irish football
on Off the Ball,
brought to you by Cadbury, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams.
This is News Talk.